For Those in Peril, a Critical Role story, written by Sabine Legrand and read by Calicuria. This story features the pairing Kima Alora, has been rated explicit, and has been tagged No Archive Warnings Apply. Post Episode 83, The Deceiver's Stand. Perhaps it's not surprising where Alora finds Kima. There are plenty of places she could be, but where she is in front of the bathtub in the home they share. Her armor, leggings, and gambeson are off. Her underthings are still on, and she's frowning, looking at the tub with distaste. "Are you going to use that?" Alora asks, and Kima scowls. "I feel like shit, but I can't bring myself to sit in water, not after that little adventure." She shakes her head as if to clear it. "If you want to, I can..." "I can't bear the thought of it," Alora admits. "I just keep thinking about miles and miles of ocean."
"I'm calling it, then," Kima says. "No baths."
"That's fine," Alora says. She bends over, kissing Kima softly. "I can think of something better to do, anyway." Kima twists away.
"Come on, Allie, I'm disgusting."
"Do you remember that time in the storm crests?" Alora asks. "As I recall, you were covered in basilisk blood, but you came to my bedroll anyway."
"That was different," Kima says.
"Why?" Alora says.
"We're not like that anymore,"
Kima says, with a hint of frustration that often comes with any statement that suggests inaction. "We were nearly slaughtered by a dragon today," Alora says. "At least for now, I think we are definitely like that."
"Oh, fine," Kima says, with a sigh and a smile, taking her hand. "Come on."
With her usual single-minded determination, Kima pushes off her underthings and drags Alora to the bed. She climbs up, unabashedly standing on the mattress so she can be taller than Alora. Alora doesn't mind in the slightest, letting Kima tip her head back with one hand and kiss her thoroughly. Kima is as take no prisoners in this as she is in battle, and Alora is happy to be caught up in it. So many times she's come close to never having this again, and she's learned that she has to grasp it with both hands while she can. Alora undoes the buttons of her robe and lets it fall to the floor, not wanting to be separated from Kima even by such a small thing. She climbs onto the bed, going onto her knees and distracting Kima with kisses while she backs Kima up. Alora is not without her tricks. She sneaks an arm around Kima's waist and pulls her down, settling Kima on top of her. She makes an abortive attempt to put a hand in Kima's hair before realizing it's still braided and salt stiff, choosing instead to run her fingers down Kima's spine.
"Me first,"
Kima says, pushing Alora down decisively as she backs up, rearranging them so that she's between Alora's legs.
"By all means," Alora says, already a little breathless.
It is something of a shame that they can't do this at the same time, but they have had extensive experience and still not found any contortion that works. It doesn't feel so bad when Kima unceremoniously strips Alora's undergarments off and spreads her out, efficient as always. Kima makes a noise of appreciation before she leans in and flicks her tongue over Alora's clit. Alora groans, but Kima leans back again. She's pulling a face while trying not to look like she's pulling a face, which goes about as well as you might expect.
"What is it?" Alora asks.
"Don't take this the wrong way," Kima says,
"but you taste like seawater."
And Alora, gods bless her, bursts out laughing as it hits her all at once. Thordak and Raishan and almost losing Kima in the water and everything that came before. They shouldn't have made it out of this, yet somehow they have, and it's too much to hold. The crisis and the relief.
"It wasn't that funny,"
Kima says, looking at her warily. "Maybe we should just stick to hands," Alora says.
"Agreed,"
Kima says. She moves up Alora's body, straddling her waist, and Allura cups Kima's breasts in her hands, thumbing her nipples before she drops one of her hands to the joint of her legs. Kima moans, and without missing a beat, she reaches back and finds Allura's center with her quick fingers. This is a thing that does work, and Allura is happy to have it, seawater or no. Allura doesn't know how Kima can be so good with her hands working blind, but she savors it, the way Kima knows exactly how to play her. Three of her small fingers go in easily, and she rubs circles in Allura's clit with her thumb, making Allura spread her legs wider and push up against her.
That's it, Kima says. Show me how much you want it, Allie.
Allura chuckles, sliding a finger inside of Kima and relishing the way her back arches. No more than you do.
You might have a point, Kima says.
Kima, never content to be still, starts rocking against Allura's hand, and Allura moves with her, pushing a second finger into her like she knows Kima wants. Somehow Kima can do it and not lose her concentration, and soon she has most of her hand inside Allura's body. Allura savors how it feels, both the stretch and how it connects them. This is as close as they can get, a closed loop, where the question of where one ends and the other begins is moot. Allura runs her hand up from Kima's breast to her neck, savoring the feel of Kima's warm skin under her fingertips. Kima would protest if Allura told her how beautiful she is in this moment. Kima is beautiful to her in every moment, in moments of desperation, in moments of joy, in moments of ferocity. Kima would say something dismissive yet self-effacing about how Allura is the pretty one, the ladylike one, but Allura would trade 1,000 pretty ladies to have Kima by her side.
Shit,
Kima says through her teeth, pushing against Allura in short, sharp thrusts, and Allura moves her fingers faster, meeting her halfway. I'm not gonna last.
Then don't,
Allura says, though she's not sure how she's still able to talk when Kima is still pumping into her, when her whole body feels sensitized with it.
It's all right, my love. We have all the time in the world.
Fuck, Kima says at the laugh. Like it's just hitting her, too. You know, I think we do. Allura keeps moving, keeps focusing on Kima even when she wants to fall apart. And Kima gasps, pushing down hard. Allura can feel as she clenches down around her fingers, squeezing Allura tightly. Still, Kima doesn't stop, her movements desperate as she tries to bring Allura to her climax. And it works, Allura going over after her, letting out a low moan as she rides it out, the force of it rolling through her. They just stay like that for long moments, just breathing, until Kima lists to one side and falls off, letting herself flop gracelessly onto the bed. Allura laughs, pulling Kima to her, and it occurs to her that she's laughed more in this bed than she has in weeks. She puts her chin on top of Kima's head and tries to ignore the sharp scent of salt in her hair. It's not exactly pleasant, but for now, it's enough to be here, to be alive, to be anywhere but lost at sea or in a dragon's lair. They'll work their way up to a bath eventually. The end. Thanks for listening.